vacation?
Some years ago, I spent time in Hopewell, New Jersey. And interesting. It is northeast of Philadelphia. It certainly at that time a rural area. When I was there, it was very inclusive. So think of Athens. Whatever wind came through, they embraced it. And that was some talking with the residents around there. That's where they've always been. So roll the clock back to 1825, 1830. Historically, you come through the American Revolution. After the American Revolution, we had a thing called the War of 1812. It was the War of 1812 that established America as a nation. The Revolution didn't. The Revolution said, you've got to start to see what you can do with it. In 1812, the British said, we've had enough of you. We're coming in to stomp you out. They burnt the White House. Almost defeated us. They were defeated. Now roll the clock ahead 10 years, and the nation takes a sigh and begins to come into its own. In other words, they take a breath and relax. And now you have this upswell. Remember, Pennsylvania is overwhelmingly Quaker, overwhelmingly religious. We have the Philadelphia Association there, but they are not like Rhode Island where the Baptists reign. They are just a small segment. So Hopewell is in this area where they're just being, can't we all just get along? Hence the New School Baptist, submitting to the new way. The Old School Baptist going, we know them better today as landmarkers.
Yes.
Amen. Don't remove the ancient landmark. The contest has been fought from generation to generation, going all the way back to Corinth, going all the way back to Jerusalem. There's nothing there.
Yeah. Sure.
Brother Christians, explain the Trinity.
There are three separate individuals making up one. First John chapter
making up one what?
One
what?
So there are three separate.
You saying, welcome my wife.
That are in oneness. They have in unity. They are in unity.
Oh, yeah. Is there not one person?
No.
It doesn't take all three of them to make one person.
No.
Jesus is in the arms and the Holy Spirit is not the legs.
Yes.
Come on.
You got to be able to
know. I'm with you with three persons. So what happens with the one? What happened with the one again?
They're in unity, they're in oneness. These two are light energy.
Okay. What?
They agree.
Where'd you come up with that idea?
Well, I do have 1 John 5:7, these three are one. Passage where it says they are for me.
Does anybody want to help him?
I have it already down.
The consensus is nobody wants to help.
That's okay.
You think it's fun now, wait for the ordination. And mind you, there is no phone a friend during the ordination.
I figured.
Unless Brother Jacob gets a thought for it. For the regular, help them out.
What was this, like, thing you asked?
Where the play they agree on?
Well, that's the next one.
What's that?
I think that's for John 5-7. Five eight. You hope 5-8.
Sword drill, whoever's there, read it.
And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the spirit, the water, and the flood, and these three agree in one.
Aha!
I was there.
You were so close.
I was there.
Right on the beach of the Normandy. You were right on the land, just couldn't get off of it. Yep. So, we're not one person then. So, what are you saying? So, what is the Trinity then?
It's three individuals that
three statements. If you know what you're talking about, you want to continue to involve
the Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, three separate individuals that agree in one. They are in perfect unity.
Okay.
They're in harmony. Harmony. I can't say that.
They're not one person.
No.
They're in oneness. You talk about oneness.
Yes.
They're in unity. Harmony. Unity and harmony. They're so united and so close and so unified and so together that the act of one is the presence of the other. Now we also look that before anything else existed, they possess wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Now tonight we're going to study probably the most important key to understanding God, the Godhead, the Trinity. You get this down and you understand everything. Not get this down and you won't understand anything. And it all begins with Brother Jerry.
It's me. No,
you all knew where I was going with those. How long have you been married?
3 years.
Sure. Is that right?
Sure.
You're good. Now, the big question, why did you get married?
Well, that I'm sure I want to spend my life in person.
You doing good?
Yes.
Now, watch this one. You married your wife because you love her.
Yes.
Yes. What does that mean? You marry your wife because you love her. What does it mean?
I want to be with her all the time. I want her in my life. I want to be as close to her that possibly could.
What does love mean?
All right, he's singing 70 music to me. What is love? Any beginning of yourself to somebody?
She's probably doing a poor Tina Turner song. What is love? Love is your
help.
Ain't nothing but a secondhand emotion. So, you stood before God and everybody and said, this is who I want to spend my life with. And you just told us you love her. So explain, what does love mean?
Well, 1 John 4:8 says that God is love.
Well, that's good. Now you're elevating yourself pretty high there.
But first thing, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. If God loved us, so we ought also to love one another. We know what love is.
So why aren't you marrying all of us?
There is a already. We'll see. One, it's not multiple.
So why her? Brother Christian, don't feel better now. Brother Jared, you got some explaining to do to them. So what does it mean?
It's to
It's to be one with somebody, to be in unity together. Because I want to, why, what is love is to give yourself with somebody to want to be with them forever.
Oh, good. Yeah, are you fond of her?
Yes.
Were you fascinated with her?
It's going.
Well, now you're trying to build a relationship.
If only if any of us owned a flower shop, we'd be making money tonight, I'm really sure. So, you want to be one with her, you want to be united with her, you want to be with her, you want to, because you started with a fondness. Would you say you have affection for her?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Good. So, can this affection and fondness grow?
Yes.
Is this love you have an emotion?
No.
They can promote emotion.
You are so fortunate and so much around it. Yeah. It can provoke emotion. What we normally think of as love is emotional. Love you just in death. Cut the heart warm, you thought. You may want to question Brother Jared after talking. We normally think of love as an emotion, don't we? Now, we talked about the Philadelphia Association, City of Philadelphia. What does that mean?
City of Brotherly Love.
City of Brotherly Love. Filial.
What do we mean?
Filial. That is. So, fondness. Affection. Now, Brother Jared, have your love grown since you got married?
Yes.
I've never heard of it.
I'm giving the answer to that one. Yeah. Is it different now than just fondness and affection?
Yeah.
That was sort of quick and emphatic. What was that about?
I'm figuring out the track you're going down here.
So that would be the right answer.
I have a fair behavior for it now, too.
Yeah, we all do. Filial. It's fondness, affection, brotherly love.
Which is why we have over 50% divorce rate.
Yeah. That's why we have over 50% divorce rate. You ever heard of somebody say, I fell out of love? She didn't really fall out of love. It all fell out of fondness. This is more akin to lust than it is deep love. This is the most. Remember when Jesus was talking to Peter? Peter, do you love me? Yay, Lord, you know I filio you. I filio you. I am terribly fond and affectionate towards you. You really, it's a warm spot in my heart for you. Peter, do you love me? God, you know I love you. I'm terribly fond of you. I'm really attached to you. Peter, do you love me? Now it broke his heart because he was going past this. What's the other definition for love?
Stop it.
Agape. Now, Brother Jared, been married 3 years. and say that your love started as filial, your fondness and affection.
But you didn't.
I doubt on the first date you said, I got to you, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, with your marriage. Did that happen?
On the first date, huh?
No. So the Andrew saying it's not likely there would have been a second date. That's a creepy. So somewhere it went from filial to godly. Or did it get to godly?
And you began to talk. Don't you so?
Uh-oh.
Well, now we're getting the standing of it. Yes, I'm there.
Oh, thanks for filling that hole in again. Okay, good. Now, Brother Jared mentioned 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse number 8. Whoever's there, read it. Score drill. Come on, you got the top of that.
We have us from God to God as well.
Excellent, Cassandra. Say that last part again.
God is love.
God is love. God is love. It is an inherent characteristic of God. Because he's love.
Mm-hmm.
When did he become or identify with love? Always. Look at John 17. Look at verse number 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. When did God love?
It's probably
as now and you.
Excellent.
Excellent. Now, what do you know? You loved me before the foundation of the world. And guess what type of love that is? Is that filial? Fondness, affection? No. This is... not agape, it's agapeo. Agape is the noun. Agapeo is the verb tense. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Like verse number 7. For love, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Okay, slow it down, break it down. For love, let us love. Beloved, let us love. That's agapeo. That's the verb tense. That's the action of love. Let us put love to action with one another. For love, the noun, the object, is of God. And everyone that loveth, agapeo, the action of love, putting love to action, is born of God and knoweth God. Before there was a world. Look back at John chapter 17, verse 24. Before there was a world. Jesus was desiring, verse 24 again, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, For thou hast, thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
The agapio.
The agapio love was there when there was only the Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. All three. In love with each other. Now, here's the definition of agapio. Agapio is a verb of will. It is not an emotion. It's not the pitter-patter of the heart. It is a choice. Not an emotion. For the Daniel.
Hold on, I'm not stepping on your...
Oh, you probably are.
Hooray. But right in that verse, it tells us what it is that you're talking about. It's because the Father gave what to Jesus? Glory. And where was the glory? It was the Father. So the Father gave all of himself to Jesus. Yeah, we also see another version of it. That is the giving whole will choice. I give all that I have to you.
Could you hear that? And yes, it stomped all over my letter.
But it was right in that verse.
It is. And if you get this down, you'll understand everything about God. You miss this and you'll not understand anything about God. Why do you go to church? Because I love God. That's the only right answer. Everything else is religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much I love me.
Yes.
It's not filial. Agapio. Agape is put in action. Agapio. It is the will. It is a choice. It is a decision. Picking up on Brother Daniel's observation, it is a decision to commit totally, unconditionally, sacrificially. It concerns itself with the well-being of the one love. Period. The only focus is the object of the love. And to that, you commit yourself wholeheartedly, unreservedly, totally. This is agapio. And Jesus said, you loved me before the foundation of the world. You committed yourself to me. You made a decision. These three dudes are hanging out forever.
Proven by sacrifice and proven by action.
By sacrifice and action. These three guys are hanging out in eternity. And how are they going to get along with each other?
Perfect.
What's that?
Perfectly.
Perfectly. And how's that? By agapio. By a decision the Father made, a decision Jesus made, a decision the Holy Spirit made. For them to give themselves to each other. Totally committed, willfully, nothing held back. Nothing held back. Do you realize when Jesus went to the cross, it was as much a sacrifice for the Holy Father as it was for the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Yeah. Think about that. Oh, by the way, happy Good Friday. And all that wonderful show. But as much as Jesus could have sent 12 legions of angels, the Heavenly Father could have sent 12 legions of angels. The Holy Spirit could have sent 12 legions of angels. It was a sacrifice of all of them, because every one of them was committed to the other and have been since before the foundation of the world. So I'll give you a big clue. As much as these guys love each other and they're totally committed to each other and they are
completely dedicated to each other. That sort of love,
they want to extend to man, to you and I. And that is boggles the mind. Shiva Daniel.
And the demonstration that you just talked about right there, extended to man, but wasn't filial, because what was man, how was the man give him affection? Or was it based on feelings or emotions? No, it was a complete giving over of Jesus Christ alone. To this mankind that had no redeeming qualities of themselves.
Yeah.
There is the demonstration of complete giving over to you.
Yes, yes, brother.
Where is the man that thou art mindful of?
Yes. We're only here tonight because he loves us.
Amen.
None of us did anything this day that warranted our existence, let alone the blessing to be able to assemble into one of his houses to study his word and to learn of him. We're not worthy.
Oh, you got my John 13, 34, and 35. So the new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. Right there.
And it's always a buffalo. Interesting enough, he talks about the agapeo as a team, what happened between the three of them. Then he extends it to the world, and they tell the church, you love each other the way I loved you. He did the agapeo to the brother. So now you guys love each other like that. And what impact is that going to have on the world? They'll know who you are. Why? Because everybody else at best is caught in the filial.
Yeah.
In the best day, they're in filial. They're really fond. They're affectionate. They're committed in a fondness.
But they have no idea what love is.
As long as I have you here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this goes deeper. Look at John 3:16. We know that verse very well.
Yep.
John 3:16. It's for God so loved. Guess what word that is?
It's
agapeo. For God so loved. Totally committed. He chose, he committed, he made a choice. He so loved the world that he gave his only it wasn't because he was fond of us. It wasn't because he had affection toward us. I was raised with a mother who had a phrase, and my sisters asked me, did you ever hear that phrase? The phrase was this: I have to love you. I do not have to like you. And I do not like you right now. Brother Ryan's laughing because he knew my mother.
Yeah.
And what that meant was get out of the house now.
Or else.
Or else. Yeah. And my sisters, I went, oh yeah, I heard that a lot. She says, we did too. And what did you do? I left the house. We learned that too, because she went on the warpath. I mean, because it was a choice that she made to be totally committed to us in love. But she did not have to like us. And when we did things that she didn't like, and it got to that point where she gave us a shot across the bow, that was it. Get out of the way. God made not the emotional choice because we were lovable, friendly critters like puppies and kittens. They're just too lovable. I've got to go sacrifice for them. They're too lovable. We were wretched, defiled, and sinners. He chose agapeo. He chose to express his love, had a total commitment, a total sacrifice, three of them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Dear brother Jared, how much do you love your wife?
All that I see.
Good answer, huh?
Yes.
And it didn't even leave the building. Mm-hmm. You're moved from the filial into the gospel. My oldest sister, Juanita, her husband was a hippie. 1960s, power of the people, war protest, nonviolent, the whole thing.
She still dope.
One night, a burglar broke into the house. They wrestled. The burglar got away from Dick. He ran down the hallway to the bedrooms where my sister and my niece and my nephew were sleeping. Dick, who was total pacifist, killed him in the hallway with a gun. He was disturbed. But he said, I will not allow, I would die for my family. He was threatening to kill my family. I had no choice but to sacrifice myself for my family. He stopped being a hippie for a few hours. Because he too had passed from filial to agape with the love he had for his children and his wife. Cool. Jesus always had that. He sacrificed himself. The Heavenly Father gave his son. Hey, Brother Jared. You got one son?
Yeah.
Would you put him in my place and cause his death so that I can live?
Probably not.
You know, Brother Jeff just quoted John 13, you know, by this shall all men know that you are my brother, you are my disciples, if you love one another, as I love you.
But he just got off the verse of the God. So now he's trying to read on.
I mean, came down to it, I'd probably put my life down for him, for you, but I'm not putting my son's life down for you.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? We're talking big love here. I'd gladly step in front of a bullet for my brethren. I would not say, Brother Jared, the guy's coming through the door. I think you ought to be up there to address it. I wouldn't make that choice for him. I'd stand in the way by him a second or two. Because let's be fair, you know, Brother Sean, you know, not getting into that story. But imagine how much love you have to have. It's one thing to say, I've reached a point where I would sacrifice myself. It's another to say, I love you so much, I would sacrifice the dearest thing I have, which is the life of my only son. Can you imagine that? For God so loved the world. What's the world? The earth? Mankind.
One example that showed in Romans, I think 9, gave all the fault out of eternity. Sacrifice of eternity for his nation to turn back to inside. That's, you know, they've found history. You know, I've asked myself that question, like, go to hell for somebody? Like, die physically and go to hell for somebody? Yeah. That's, I do not know the answer to that.
Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'd ask Brother Jacob if he's got a spare of for just such an occasion. Yeah. Brother Mike did the same thing, so don't feel bad. Actually, he had it first and then went, yeah, I need a better sacrifice. Brother Sean.
Well, at some point, I think you're going to have to answer that question, because that's what Jesus said was, whether you're his disciple or not. Are you willing to forsake mother, father, houses, family, what's our work? workers to go out there and preach the gospel of mankind and be ministers of reconciliation. So if something is more important to you, you've got a problem.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and to get back off on this, the point he's trying to make, there's been young preachers that won't preach somewhere on a certain weekend because it's their anniversary.
Yes.
So yeah. There's their answer, though.
Yeah.
And, or it's a kid's birthday, or it's your wife's birthday, or whatever. Not that. Things come up, things happen, you got stuff going on. But an anniversary?
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
Yeah. Well, and
I'm really fond of you, Jesus. I mean, I am.
So I thought you were going to go here, which is the most obvious place in all 66 books. But in Ephesians, the third chapter, it's impossible for you and I as people to understand love. If we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. we're not a part of a scriptural New Testament church. Because the Lord spelled it out. And I think it's impossible for you and I as human beings, when we're talking love or feeling love or trying to share love, there is, when we're here on this planet and the state that we're in, it's an impossibility for it not to cause some type of an emotion. Mm-hmm. Whatever that might be. It might be gratitude, it might be sadness, it might be joy, but it does bring something to us. And we even see that when Christ, when you were talking about there with Peter, when you go back and you read what the Lord was saying to him, I imagine, I mean, when I read that, I don't want to say the Lord was irritated, but he definitely was making a point.
Yes.
And trying to bring out, you don't love me like you think you do.
Mm-hmm.
But it says here in Ephesians 3, and I know I don't want to take up your class here, but
feel free to send it your time.
this is so, it's impossible for a man to love his wife without the Lord. It's impossible for a mother to love their children the way that God wants you to without the Lord. It's an impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's strong affection and you care for them and you give them a kidney and you raise them and feed them and all that. But that's just, this love you've been talking about is bigger. And this love over here in Ephesians is bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes beyond that. And it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that's a system of doctrine and teachings that you understand what the Lord is talking about with love. It's not how I feel about it. It's what I learned from God about it.
How we learn, excuse me, hold that thought. How are we learning about what love is? Because we're going into the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The world at best can only give you filial. Fondness and affection.
And that's, it's not all.
Yeah.
And he goes on there that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that you being rooted and grounded may be able to comprehend. And that's to me the key, comprehend, to understand with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. That's every aspect, every measurement, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It goes beyond what you're talking about here, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's the point Brother Sean's bringing out.
Mm-hmm.
We can go beyond, but only by understanding this depth, width, and height, true Christ, true faith, the system of doctrines and teachings, and in verse 10, through a scriptural New Testament church.
Excellent. Excellent. And notice how much deeper that love got when I asked Brother Jared when he sacrificed his son for me. And the immediate response was, I know the answer should be yes, but the honest answer is no. Because that depth of love, Brother Jared filials me a lot. But to give his son, that's agape on a deeper level. That wow. They said, I'd be willing to give my own life. That's wonderful. But to sacrifice your only son. And he did it for every one of us. And that to comprehend the depth, the height, that's where we're at. Get this down, and everything in the Bible will make sense. You mess this up, and nothing will make sense. Why do I have to go to church?
Oh,
you don't have to. You get to.
Really?
Brother Jared may have some time at E-Web closing for the day. Why do I have to go home? Or does he say, well, at the end of the day, I get to go home?
Second one.
Definitely.
All right.
Yeah.
If you stop and think about this, the Trinity has everything they needed.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need us. They have love, they have harmony, they have unity, they have perfection. And yet they chose to reach out to share that.
Yeah. You know, racking up gold. Sure. They don't need us. They want us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that want caused them to express that love that they have between each other. They shared that love with us.
Yeah.
And how can we understand that love? By them sacrificing themselves. We focus on Jesus the sacrifice, and rightly so. But it was a sacrifice of all of them. All of them. There's a reason that the sky went dark for 3 hours. There's a reason the rock rent. It wasn't simply that Jesus was separated. They were separated from him for the first and only time in eternity. And that was because of me. That they wanted to express this love to me. And to you, that we may understand it and share it among ourselves so that others would look and go, you know, you guys are different than every other church I've ever been to.
That's something you need.
That's something I need. That's something I need. Go in there. Let's stand up and listen on the reflection.